Anyone who knows anything about contemporary Chinese poetry knows about the misty poets. You made a reference to Bei Dao. As a young man, you were involved in publishing as well, a journal called Tendency, did I get that right? Are there any definable trends or movements in contemporary Chinese poetry since the misty poets?
Oh, big changes. So these misty poets, most of them went abroad in about late 80s or early 90s. Then a younger generation of poets was called the third generation. The third generation, I think, people got this name. So who's the first generation? First generation, all these revolutionary poets. And the second generation, the misty poets. And the third generation were just young poets at that time. And the third generation, I'm regarded as one of the third generation. And after the third generation, there are some new poets, younger poets. So the early 90s, actually, some poets, we tried to come back to the poetic scene to write, to exceed with our writing. I start to write that poem, Salute, in 1992. And then some other poets, well, we came back by and by. And then 1992 was also a time when the leader, party leader, Deng Xiaoping, went to a city named Shenzhen, just a nearby city to Hong Kong, to start the market economy. It was until 1995, I think, you may feel that there was an air of this kind of a Chinese-styled market economy. And the elements of entertainment appeared. And something, the buzz of consumerism emerges. And some younger poets, they came out feeling that they felt that as a poet or as a writer, you can't always focus on these dark things. You can't always just indulge yourself in those bitter memories. So they started again to write about daily lives, about sunshine, about their enjoys. Enjoyments. Yeah. Their love affairs. Their desires, and so it went to 1998 something. There was a sharp debate between poets, among poets. So poets were divided into basically two groups. One group is called intellectual poets. I'm regarded as an intellectual poet. The other group is, I don't know how to translate that, but maybe it could be translated as popular poets. Popular poets, they want to just to show you their daily experiences. They feel that poetry need to be understood by ordinary people because they felt that intellectual poets wrote for themselves, or wrote for culture, or they wrote for Westerners even, and so there was a debate, and so I was criticized for too literary. I'm always in thoughts, worries, and so that. They were persuading me to be at home, to be at ease, something. So, but later, I actually, at that time, we were like enemies, but a few years later we went together again, and
you went back home and there was a mosquito in the room.
Right, right, yeah, yeah. I need to tell them.
Yeah. Here's some segments from your mosquito, the title poem. Yet the longevity of a mosquito is fixed nearly between sunup and sundown, or between two sunups and sundowns, and therefore, in the whole life of a mosquito, it might only meet an average of 4 or 5 people, or 20 or 30 pigs, or 1 horse. This suggests that mosquitoes have no established views on good and evil. Well, there's sunshine right there in your poem. very interesting work, the mosquito poem, and also the poem that refers to your grandmother. A couple more things before we let you go. We had a cab driver in Beijing, and he said a couple of things that really stuck with me. He said that people in China still appreciate the United States for U.S. help in World War II against Japan. He also said that people have no idea of the history of China. Now, obviously, this is true in the United States, where we don't even know our own history. But can you speak to those two things? Is it true elsewhere in the world that people don't understand the history of China? And can you also speak about how Chinese people regard Americans?
First about Americans. We know that in late 19th century, Westerners all went to China. And China was not really invaded, but later
it was carved up, basically.
Yeah. But America was the only country who was strong, who was powerful at that time. But it seems that the United States didn't have a piece of land caught it from China, and also this is something about history. Actually, before the communists went into power, Mao said, at that time he was not the leader. He was a counter party.
Counter-revolutionary.
No, not.
Oh, a different party. He was the head of a different party.
Yeah, right. Because at that time was Chiang Kai-shek. Right. He said he told an American journalist, I think Edgar Snow or something. He said that the freedom we want is Roosevelt's freedom, and the democracy we want is Abraham Lincoln's democracy or something, or just the opposite, the freedom of Abraham Lincoln, something. And later, when the communists went into power, things changed. Things changed. I think is there are some historical reasons. For instance, the Soviet Union, and the whole political situation in the world at that time. So actually, the Chinese have a good feeling for the American people, for the Americans.
Do people really understand the history of China?
A long history or a short term?
Well, I think the long history, obviously. Many of the inventions that happened that get credited to different Europeans were actually in China 100 years, 1,000 years before that. The cab driver didn't get into it, but he just said he felt that people don't understand the history of China, and it resonated as being very true to me.
So people, it depends on the meaning. What does it mean, people? Ordinary people, peasants, farmers, all those intellectuals, or all these angry intellectuals. These people have different points on viewpoints on history, especially on the recent history. On recent history, some people just criticized the Chinese society, and some people they felt that China has a long history and history in not only in cultural things but also in political administrations. Oh, it's very complicated.
It's something we'll have to pick up in a future interview. It's delightful to be able to see you here in Seattle and talk with you, and I wish you much success with both of these new books.
You mean that the... I'm sorry, I didn't catch you. But
it's been a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank
you. Oh, me too. It's really a pleasure, and a pleasure to meet you again in Seattle.